Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Brake.
And we've covered a lot of material over the last 8 or so weeks. We've had a couple of intermissions in there, but we've dealt with a lot of different things. And today's topic is probably, I think, one of the biggest, but yet one of the most sensitive, and it's kind of one of those topics that churches don't often like to address, and that the whole area of lust, sex, sexuality, the implications that these things have in our world and the ripple effect that these things can have in our world, the way it impacts relationships and the way it can actually invade and pervade our life so intensely in terms of leading to levels of addiction and masturbation and the stuff that we have to look at, to fulfill this whole area of lust in our lives. And so today is kind of, if you're visiting with us and you weren't aware that this was the topic, then we just appreciate you being here and staying in the room. But, it's not often that you get to hear, and we don't have time today because I'm going to cover some things in the notes that you've got. If you don't have the notes, can you put your hand up and our team will run those out to you right now. So if you don't have our sermon notes for today. And I'm just going to read quickly two verses that are at the front page of your notes there. And it says, run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And secondly, out of Proverbs 4:23, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And maybe you've heard the saying, you put good things into your body, you're going to get good things out of it. If we eat well, then we can expect that we're going to be relatively healthy. And it's the same psychologically, emotionally, mentally, that when we put good things into our body, when we put good content matter into our lives for ourselves to meditate on and to think upon, there's going to be good outcomes. There's going to be good things that come out. So it's out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's that stuff that we put into our hearts going to determine what comes out of here. And so, you may have even heard that what you dwell on is what you will dwell in. And the stuff that we spend our time thinking about, and the majority of this area of lust is the battle, it's the challenge of what goes on between our ears. It's that headspace factor of, the wrestle and the tough challenge that it is of our thought life. And so today we want to take a look at some things on how we can defeat this whole area of sexual temptation and temptation that arises in our life. Now, I think there's two kinds of biggest liars, not biggest losers, but biggest liars. The first category of biggest liars are the people that turn around and say, I've never been tempted sexually in my life. Liar. And secondly, if somebody goes, I'm no longer tempted sexually, then they're also a liar. And, I just remember listening to this guy. He must have been in his 80s, this amazing missionary guy that went to Africa. And sadly, his wife died throughout the journey and stuff. And it got to the point where it was appropriate. And somebody asked the question, at what point did you get to where, the whole challenge of attraction and sexual sin and that sort of stuff, it stopped being an issue for you? When did that happen? And the guy sort of looked and said, well, when it does, I'll let you know. And I just thought, wow, that's incredibly honest, but it's also true that this whole area is such a challenge. And today, the question is not so much how do we avoid temptation, because it's going to be there every single day. The temptation and challenge is going to be in our faces every single day. It's more so we need to consider how can I defeat sexual temptation that will be there. And so there's a difference. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of how can I avoid it, because we can't avoid it. Everywhere we go, we see it on TV, we see it on billboards, we see it in magazines. I work at a gym a few days a week and you sort of look up at the music videos every now and then. It's like, oh, dear Jesus, help me. And I'm, Lady Gaga, and all she's got is packing tape strapped around her body. And it's like, okay, let's go to the rowing machine over this way. And it's like, do another 20 sit-ups, keep going. It's just like, what do you do? What do you say? And then, of course, you've got the other people are just like, oh, gee, great. Look at that. Isn't that fantastic? It's like, and I'm like, yep, great production, great lights. I just really like the light show. And the guys are going, there's lights? What lights? But, it's just in our faces all the time. And I think, you know, if you're not aware, obviously, you know, guys and girls are different. Are we aware of that this morning? Good. Okay. Well, one of the things that makes guys and girls different is that guys are actually stimulated visually. And so that's why the saying goes, sex sells. It just gets guys' attention. It's just how men are switched on, how they're stimulated, and women are very different when it comes to that. Generally speaking, there are exceptions. But for guys, it's such a challenge that visually, the stuff that we have, and there's a quote by one of the mass murderers that his initial interest in pornography led to an addiction that led to a whole realm of very inappropriate relationships and treating of women and view of women, and that led him on to being a mass murderer. And he said that, you know, pornography for him was like tar on the brain. Those images were etched on the hard drive that no matter what he tried to do, they were just there. Those images were just there. And so today, it's not about trying to put ourselves in a bubble and think that, you know, I'm going to avoid, it's just going to be there. But rather, how do I defeat, how do I stay on top of this stuff that I'm going to be kind of exposed to on a daily basis? And so in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it says, sin crouches at the door of your life. It's always going to be there, and its desire is to pull you down, drag you down. But it says, but you must master it. But you must. In other words, Phil, I've got to master this stuff that hangs outside my door and wants to rip me off and tear me down. And so this morning, I guess, we're going to be watching a video in a few moments of a guy named Pastor Craig Gross, who's from Triple X Church in Las Vegas. And these guys, their whole church operates in reaching out to and connecting with people who are involved directly, indirectly with the porn industry. And I know you're going to enjoy it, and it's quite confronting, some of the statistics. But if I can just give you some of the ones that I stumbled across, when it comes to pornography, there's 372 million porn sites and growing daily. That is 12% of all the websites that are available are dedicated to porn, and it's growing. And it's a rapidly growing industry. Generally speaking, 72% of people that look at porn are men. There's 28% of women who do. And it's one of the major contributors to marriage breakdown. With easy access on the internet and the introduction of porn sites on the internet has led to that being one of the significant factors with counsellors when they talk through people and their issues when it comes to intimacy and when it comes to the breakdown of their relationship, that pornography is a growing factor, major factor and cause of the breakdown in their relationship. And for 15% of those who view pornography regularly on the internet, they develop sexual behaviours that disrupt their life and their relationships. So those things, that desire, because lust is one of those things that is never satisfied. Lust is one of those things that is self-gratification. It's not others-focused, it is self-focused. I've got to get my needs met. It's all about me. And because sin is a temporary thing, yet there may be a feeling, if you like, of elation and a feeling of satisfaction, but not long after, that feeling is gone and there's the desire and there's that need, because that void is still there to go and experience that thing again, and it's just never satisfied. It's just a perpetuating challenge for people's lives. And that can lead to distorted relationships, distorted view of the opposite sex, a distorted view of their own sexuality, and which may lead to things such as, you know, masturbation being an issue where it just becomes like part of their daily routine because they've got to get that fix in their lives. And it can become such a grip on our lives. And there may even be people here today that at some point, or even now, this is a challenge for you. And I just want to make it really clear today that we as a church, we don't judge, we don't condemn people. We want you to know that this is a safe place. And we're going to hear today that one of the most powerful things that we can do is actually talk to somebody about this area of challenge in our lives. And the challenge is that at some point, maybe we haven't been caught yet, but at some point it's going to come out. And not only do we get hurt, but more often it's those around us that we love that get hurt as a consequence of this area of lust being an issue in our lives. And so this morning, how do we defeat sexual temptation that will be there? How do we do that? When you notice, the first thing you've got to do is admit that I'm tempted. Admit that I am tempted. I guess what we're saying is, know your weaknesses. And I remember working at the hospital as a physio, and I was recently married and my wedding ring was so shiny and sparkly and I just was so proud of my wedding ring and stuff. And I was just like on the ward one particular day, and she was very attractive, and you know, like we had a professional relationship, one of the medical registrars, but all of a sudden she started paying a little bit of extra attention to me. And I'm thinking, wow, she's been pretty friendly. And then I kind of like, I'm a bit slow on the uptake. I'm just going, you know, the button on a top sort of like, she'd, whenever I was around, she'd undo it. And I'm just like, okay. And I just went, this is ridiculous. And I just had to go, this is just not healthy. I'm a married man and this person's flirting with me. This person's trying to get my attention. And so I heard around the hospital, it was actually more of a challenge now that I was married than before I was married, that she was trying to hook up with me. I'm just going, dear Jesus, help me. I'm just going, so when that happened, I've just gone, you know, and that's not a reflection on all doctors, of course, because we have a few doctors in the house. But on this occasion, it was just like, wow, I'm not going to play with fire. You're going to get burnt. So whenever she was on a ward, I'd just make sure I just wouldn't go there. You know, and if watching stuff on the internet is a challenge for you, then you just got to acknowledge and admit, yeah, this is an area of weakness for me. And the cool thing is, that whether it's on the row with somebody that you're sitting next to or somebody else in this room has the same challenge that you do. We're not alone in this. We're not alone in this. And the thing is that they may be struggling with it to a different degree to what you are, but all of us with all the deadly sins have struggled with them at some point. And today, you know, I love Jesus. He comes into the world and he could have been a taskmaster, but he goes, you know what? I don't come into the world to condemn you, but I've come to actually love you. I've come to heal the broken heart that you've got. I've come to that stuff that holds you back from living out the purpose that God's got for your life. Those things, I've come to see those things broken off your life so you can actually live a free life. And so, you know, I love that about Jesus. And we want our church, this church, to be a safe place that you can go, you know what? I'm going to talk to my life group leader about my challenge. I'm going to admit that I have got a problem. We're going to put accountability measures in place. We're going to put things that are going to help you move forward in freedom. So this sensitive and hard, tough issue is no longer something that holds you back in life. Does that sound cool? Okay. So we need to admit, secondly, we need to recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. Recognize I'm in a spiritual battle. And the scripture there we have out of Romans 7 tells us that there's another law at work. There's another factor at work in our lives. It's not just the natural world in which we live, but there's a very real and a very aggressive spiritual world that we live in. And there is one that wants to destroy and tear down our lives. Some, you know, the devil wants to come along and he wants to rob you of any joy, any satisfaction, any peace that God has given you. He's wanting to find out what button can he push. And when he knows there's a button that he can push, he'll just keep pushing that button until, like, you know, that joy, that life has been stolen, that we've been robbed, we've been cheated, because his ultimate aim for each one of us is total destruction. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your marriage, your family. He's not happy until you're decimated. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. And there's this constant tension between trying to do good and trying to not do the wrong thing. And there's this constant challenge that, yep, some of it is a result of the choices we make, but we've also got to be aware that we're in a spiritual battle. So recognize you're in a spiritual battle. Number three, avoid temptation. We've got to face the facts that avoiding temptation is easier than resisting it. Avoiding it is easier than resisting it. Let's take an alcoholic, for example. Somebody who is a recovering alcoholic, I mean, the advice they're given is, like, if you struggle with alcohol, don't go to a bar. And resisting the temptation is so much harder than actually just avoiding it in the first place. Just knowing what your weaknesses are, knowing what things actually, what is that button that the devil tries to put to tear you down, and just avoiding it in the first place. And again, I want to remind you, you don't have to do this journey alone. But as a church, we want to put support measures around and help you and for this area to become no longer a stumbling block in your life. So we've got to avoid temptation. We're going to keep moving just because of time. Number four, focus on God, not the temptation. Focus on God, not the temptation. Why? Because I know that when you're told not to do something, what are you going to do? When you're told not to think about something, don't think about it. Like, don't think about it. What are you doing? You're thinking about it. It's like, you know, the glossy magazines would say that guys think about sex every 7 seconds. Now, if a guy's awake for 16 hours of the day, they've thought about sex something like 57,600 times in a day. It would just mean that, like, you know, you wouldn't get anything done. So I think that's a glossy magazine kind of hyper-exaggeration of something. The research that I looked into, and I couldn't find where that statistic, what it was based on, but the one I could find was that more generally speaking, men think about sex several times a day. 54% of men do. 42% of men will think about sex several times a week. And there's about 4% who think about sex once a month. I don't think I've ever met one of those blokes, but, you know. And I'm not going to tell you which one I fit into, but it's none of your business. Don't be nosy. I'm accountable on that, so it's all good. But I'm not going to tell you not to think about sex, because if I tell you, hey, what, you know, leave this place and don't ever think about sex again, that's ridiculous. But what I will challenge you to do is start to train yourself and be disciplined and allow the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control to become a part of your life, because God doesn't want this to be a losing battle in our lives. And He's committed to us and He wants us to overcome these things. And He goes, hey, I'm going to help you. If you put good things in, if you start thinking about the Word of God and you've got some favourite Bible verses that you can, you know, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, and I don't have to be overcome, but I'm more than an overcomer. This stuff doesn't have to get on me. And so if I start to think about, I see something which triggers a train of thought that's going to lead to a train wreck in my headspace, I've got to start to learn, how do I put in place the self-discipline, because I must master it. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I must master this stuff so that I don't become a train wreck, but I actually start to meditate on things that are above and not on things that are around. And that area of weakness can, over time, start to become an area of strength in our lives. And so I'm not going to tell you not to think about it. But are you ready for the last one, for some life-changing theology and some incredible psychological advice? Number 5, choose to stop. I know it's deep, but choose to stop. And again, you don't have to do that on your own. Number 1, you've got God, but number 2, you've got people in this room that want to get around and alongside you. But God has given us that incredible power to choose. And He actually says for our life as a whole, not just in the area of sex and lust, but He says in our whole lives, we have the choice on whether we want to choose life or choose death, blessing or cursing. Not a trick question. And God says, hey, I put those choices before you. I give you the ability to choose or reject me. I give you the ability to accept me into your world and help you through this journey called life, or you can just say no thanks and try to do it on your own. And so today, there's just 5 quick things that you can think about and consider, and encourage you to do that. You've got a page there for notes for the message that we're just about to listen to, but on the back, there's some resources there. And as parents, just encourage you to take a look at the XXX website, because they actually put some free accountability software there that is not so much a filtering system, which is there's NetNanny and things like that, but there's something called X3 Watch, which is where you allocate somebody who's going to get a list of all the websites that you look at, and they will get a report of that, and then there's a level of accountability in that. And I think that's a great tool for people. You know, if you're struggling, you've got somebody that you can trust, that you can nominate that person and set it up and actually have it as a great accountability measure in your life. But some of those resources that you'll see there, I believe will help you, and they themselves have actually got great links that you can then go on to and have a look at, that may be a benefit to you or to somebody that you might know. But let's have a quick look at this message by Pastor Craig Gross from XXX Church. And it's just some very cool info in what you're about to see.
To view this message, log on to XXXChurch.com, follow the links to Porn Sunday and download the 30-minute video.
It's a good presentation that I thought was well worth seeing and full of challenge. And to wrap up this morning, I guess there's a couple of things that we want to make really clear, and that is that if this is an area of struggle for you or somebody that you know, then then we're here to support, we're here to love, not judge, not condemn. We're here, firstly, the starting point of all of this is you just heard Craig say is like allowing that void, that space in our lives that we try to fill with so many things. And maybe it's not porn, maybe it is the pursuit of dollars. And you know, I think it's interesting that people desire, like, you know, as long as I get this and I have accumulated this and money is that driving force in their life. And it's like, you know, once you get 2-3 million, then what? Well, get more. Well, stand at the end of your life and you have $8 million to your name. Stand before God and you say, God, look, I got this great big pile of cash here. And God's going, wow, that's great. Let's play Monopoly. You know, what are we going to do with that? But like the end in itself is like, where does it lead? What does it lead to? And same with pornography, and lust. It's an unending cycle that is just never satisfied. And the Bible says the only one that can truly satisfy, the only one that can truly fill that void in our life is Jesus Christ. And the starting point is allowing him to come in to your life, to fill that space, to fill that place in your heart, and allow him to forgive you of all whatever the past has held, and then to become part of a community of people that want to love and support you on this tough journey that's called life. And so this morning, can I just ask that we bow our heads and we just close our eyes? And I don't know everybody in the room, and I certainly don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. But this morning, I'd love to give you that opportunity to start a relationship with God. Just invite God into your world. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. Fill that void. And the Bible says he's the only one that we can gain access to God the Father, and we can have only through Jesus the assurance of eternal life. This morning, I'm asking you to start a relationship with God. I'm not asking you to join a church. This is just about you and God right now. Jesus died on the cross, paid the penalty, the price for all of our sin, all the bad stuff that's happened in our lives. Paid the price for us so that we don't have to pay it if we choose to accept the gift of life that he offers. If you've never done that but would like to do that this morning, it's the best decision, the most important decision you'll ever make with your life. If you would like to do that, as no one's looking around, I just say, why don't you just slip up your hand so I can chat with you after the service this morning. If that's you, you go, yeah, Phil, some of that stuff you said before and what Craig said has resonated with me and been searching and seeking in a bunch of different ways. But I want to know Jesus. I want my life to have that sense of fulfillment, completeness, sense of purpose, sense of meaning. If that's you today, can you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray with you once we close the service. Is there anyone at all? If there's any questions that have been stirred in your heart this morning, I encourage you to chat to the person that you came with or invited you. Have a chat to one of our leaders, and just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this morning, if this whole area of lust or even pornography is a challenge for you, you're not on your own. We're here to support you. And as Craig just said, you know, we've got to confess it to God and we've got to talk to somebody about it. So can I encourage you, before this day is out, can you please speak to your life group leader? If you're not involved in a life group, then I make myself available, and there's Michael, there's Ben, there's Lester. And if you're one of the young ladies or one of the ladies in our church, then there's Nat, there's Holly, there's Joe, there's Colleen, there's people that you can talk to that we're here to support and to journey with you and put some accountability measures in place and support in place. So just encourage you to do that before this day is out. Please do that. So Father, this morning, I thank you for this opportunity that we've had together. Lord God, I thank you that life is full of challenges and this sure is one of them. Lord God, you don't want us to do this thing called life alone. You want to be right in the middle of our lives, but you've also put men and women around us that can support us and care for us along the way. So Lord, I pray that you would bless each person here today. Pray for courage for those that need to actually say something to somebody. And Lord God, I just pray that you would help us to love and care for those maybe that we know that struggle with this, that we could actually show in a practical way what the love of Jesus is all about in this, that we don't judge people, we don't condemn people. We just want to see people walking in the freedom that you've got for them, Father. In your precious name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed our series on the seven deadly sins.